Amen. Welcome to worship. We're here to lift up Jesus and just to be reminded of all the things that we were just singing about. That was really how the Holy Spirit works and how he's working today, is that message of how he loves us. It's such an important message, and it's really a theme for our whole service today. God loves you so much. And you don't need to work at it. I appreciate the prayer at the end. There's nothing you can do. We don't need to try harder to get God to love you. God loves you so much. And just hear that message today. Just be encouraged. And it's really the message that gives us the impetus to go out with good news. It's the message of God's love that encourages us to go and share good news with people who are struggling and who are hurting and who need to hear that there is hope in Jesus. It's all about his love. If you take love out of the equation, there's no power, there's no message, there's no reason. There's no reason to meet. There's no reason to even call ourselves Christian. Thank you, God, for your love. And it's a love that we've been talking about. We've been talking about how important that love is and how we need to share that love with other people, that there are people who are lost who need to be found. There are people who are dying who need to be made alive. Some of them died this week. Again, you know, more who have lost their lives. And we're reminded that there's an urgency to this, that there's a time constraint, that there are people who are losing their lives because they don't know that there's an answer. They don't know that they can get out of the hole that they're in. They don't realize that there's hope unless you tell them. Unless I tell them that there's hope, they don't get it. They won't know it. And they need to hear about, that's what the Bible says, they need to hear about the hope that is in you. You know, not the hope that's in someone else. You don't need to go and say, you know, tell your friends, let me tell you about the hope that's in our pastor, you know, or in our pastor's wife. Man, has she ever got a lot of hope? No, it's the hope that's in you, right? It's the hope that's in you. And so today, that's our whole theme. And I didn't know any of the songs that Cody was going to sing, but it's about God's love today. And know this today. Know this beyond any shadow of a doubt, that God loves you, that God died for you, that he's got a plan and a purpose for you, and that whatever struggle you're going through, whatever is hard and hurting in your heart, God can take care of it, and he will, because his love is so deep for all of you. It's a message that we bring here in Red Deer. It's a message that's also going to be brought in Costa Rica with Ken and Frida leaving today, and I'm going to just be quiet a little bit here, and if you guys come on up. Ken and Frida are leaving, I think, on Monday. Is that correct? We're just excited to hear. Yeah, we can give them a big hand. Give God a big hand. We're excited that you get to go again, this time for a whole year. We're going to hear a little bit about what that's going to look like, and then we're going to pray for you. Brother?
Still hand pick the coffee, which means they pick each berry individually to make sure they get a good harvest. So they look for the bright red, and they don't want the overripe, they don't want the underripe, they want the ones that are ready. So in a harvest, they may have 5-6 pickings of heads on that year. But I just wanted to share that because about 7 years ago, Pastor William, that we've been working with, went into a poor slum area called Los Quito, and God gave him a vision for what he wanted to do in that area. And he saw a vacant property that was full of garbage, had been broken down, you know, ransacked. And God gave him a vision of what God wanted to do in that area. And so over the last 7 years, they've been working hard, praying, building,
or we've been involved past three times in helping there. And now there is a small center there that is being used 5-6 days a week. And there is Bible studies, discipleship, children's clubs, computer classes, English lessons, sewing, cooking, you name it. And just recently, four people gave their hearts to the Lord. So to me, yeah, amen. In that area, each home has approximately 15 to 16 people living in it. So if you look at the impact of those four people, they could be impacting 60 just in their families. So that's a huge. To me, that was kind of the first fruits, the first picking. And so I think what God's been saying to me is it's time to wake up and smell the coffee because the fields are ripe and it's time to go harvest.
Thank you, Frida. She says it so well, doesn't she? About, I think, probably 20, 25 years ago, I was blessed with recognizing a greater revelation of God's unconditional love. And I wrote something out sort of like a poem. And as we were preparing for this trip, I wrote, first of all, the words to Brian Dirksen's song, Walking to the Place of Level Ground. And then this poem that I had written, I'd forgotten all about it, but I'd come across it again recently. And then Margarita helped me to translate it into Spanish. And I'm going to see how God uses that, thinking I can hand it to somebody and start a conversation. I wanted to read a few verses. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength because he considered me faithful. So he appointed me to ministry, even though I used to speak against him, attack his people, and was proud. But I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and without faith. Our Lord's favor poured all over me along with the faithfulness and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is reliable and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the biggest sinner of all. But this is why I was shown mercy, so that Christ Jesus could show his endless patience to me first of all. So I'm an example for those who are going to believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King of the ages, to the immortal, invisible, and only God, may honor and glory be given to him forever and always. Amen. That's 1 Timothy 1:12 to 17 from the Common English Bible. And then Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior bringing victory. He will create calm with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I've needed that calm as we're getting ready to go. I'm not naturally calm. I get really stressed out about any change. There's just a lot of change. As I look around this church, I see an international community of people who have received mercy from Jesus Christ and God the Father. For example, he brought Margarita from South America to share his love with the children here. She's out in the other room doing that now. And he brought some of those children from other parts of the world to here. So the children have written letters. And one thing we're doing is to take them, and we'll find children there that we can give them to, and maybe start some pen pals where kids write back and forth. And when I was, you know, that's quite a privilege to take letters to kids in Central America. When I was a child, I learned this song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And I'm so glad he keeps on loving us even when we're older. God has brought people from various parts of the world to Costa Rica to share his love with children, parents, grandparents. He's given us the wonderful privilege of encouraging them in what they're doing. It's amazing how many different people that we've started to get to know who come from all kinds of places around the world and, you know, different ministries. And so people ask, well, what are you going to be doing? Well, we know what we did before, but we don't know what we're going to do until God shows us. You know, we have said that we're going to help out with the one English class because their teacher has gone to England for a few months, and we're going to try and keep that going. And, well, see how it goes from there. So whether we're helping with that or distributing Bibles from house to house or whatever he leads us to do, it's all about encouraging and helping his people as they keep on sharing his love. The one trip some years ago where we met William and Nadia and others, you know, all we did was did a little painting on a fence and planting some flowers, and they said it encouraged them, and I was so amazed. You don't have to have great talent. You don't have to do wonderful things. You can encourage people just by coming alongside and helping them with what they're doing. So that's what it's all about.
I can, how about if you go on this side? I can tell you one thing. You guys are way more calm and fluid in the way that you speak. And, you know, I remember the first time that you spoke, it was kind of like this. And I think that's how God develops those gifts. He's giving you gifts as missionaries. He's sending you out as part of us. That's the way I really look at it. He's sending you out as part of us. This is one of the extensions of, it's an arm of Potter's Hands. And that's exciting. And we want to bless you. We want to send you out and just pray for protection. Pray for what you were saying, Ken, about that God will just open the doors, that God will provide the way, that he'll show you. It doesn't have to be anything that you have any preconceived notions about. You just go, and God will show you what to do or what fence to paint or who to share a card with, who just needs a touch, who needs an encouragement. I've been praying about who needs to come up and pray over you today, and I would like to ask Ricky. Is Ricky here? She's not here. Then Gertie. Oh, there's Ricky. Thank you. You're not sitting in your normal chair. Can you come up, Ricky? And Luis, would you come up as well? And Gertie, that's great. We want to pray for you and just seek God as you seek God. We seek him with you. Thank you, God. Come on up, guys. I know that you all love these two. And yeah. Let's pray together. So, Father, I just want to start by praying for Ken and Frida, and I thank you for their hearts. I thank you that they have just such a love for you and for the connection that they have to Costa Rica and the people there. And we just pray for immense blessings on the ministry there, Lord, and to the work that you call them to do. We pray that you will equip them like you promised to do. You are the one who sends us out to make disciples of all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and your promise, God, is that, lo, you will be with them always, even to the end of the age. And so we just grab on and we hold on tight to that promise that you will be with them even to the very end of the age. I pray that you will strengthen their marriage, that you'll strengthen their family, that there'll be no way that the enemy will be able to drive any kind of wedge in their lives, and that they will flow in freedom. We pray this, God, that they'll flow in the freedom of the Holy Spirit as you lead and guide them, God, that every day you will direct their paths, that you will bless them, that your hand will be on them, and that they'll know it, God, that they'll know that your hand is on them. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for all the nights, evenings that Frida and I could spend together Thursday nights in prayer, sharing things.
Yes, God.
You're so precious, Lord. I know that we have to let them go, but it is with pain in my heart, Lord, that I see them go. But I believe, Father, that you will bless them beyond their imagination. I would even want them back in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for everything. Bless them mightily. Thank you.
Father, thank you for this couple. Thank you Father, for their hearts that are so for you and have longed to serve you in ways, Lord. So thank you, God, you provided a way for them.
Yeah.
But like Ricky said, it's with kind of heavy hearts that we see them go.
Yes, God.
But know that they're going to come back to us. Father, I pray that you go before them, pave the way before them, Lord. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is you have in mind for them, Lord, that their hearts and their eyes and their spirits will be wide open to all of that. Pray that you'll guard their health, protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And God, just provide every single thing that they need, Lord, that they know that it comes from the mighty hand of God who loves them so much. So, Lord, just send them out with your amazing love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for my brother Ken and Frida. And I know you are always with them. And they are leaving today, and I know this door is open, and more doors going to be open for them and even for the church. Thank you, God, protect them. Thank you for their life.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you because they are available for your work always, and they want to go farther, and you're going to be with them in every moment in the name of Jesus. Open their mouth, and every time that they go somewhere, visit any house, anywhere that they go, is your presence with
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. You don't have to bring me down because
I love you. Okay. Talking in English now, we were not talking in Spanish.
And we commit ourselves, you know, this isn't the only time we're going to pray for you. those prayers are going to carry on and continue. Thank you. We need it. Thank you, God. There's just a whole bunch of things we want to do this morning, and that's fine. One of the things I'm going to ask Shade, can you come up here a minute? We want to pray this morning for all those young women who in Nigeria who were captured and who are still captured. And a couple of days ago, the fathers of those women asked for the churches to pray and said, would we pray that that their daughters would be able to come home? They estimate there's just under 225 that are still gone and still missing, and there's a lot of efforts to try to return these young girls. There is a Islamic a revolutionary group called Boko Haram, and we need to pray against that. We need to pray against that evil, and we stand together with our Nigerian brothers and sisters, and we ask God to return those children. The terror that must be going on in those girls' lives and in their parents' lives and in their families. So will you pray as well? If I pray, will you pray too? Yes, of course. Good. So God, we pray. God, we call out to you because you're all we have, and you are the God who knows all things, and you are the God of great power, of the greatest power, of absolute power. And Lord, we pray about Boko Haram, that you will just completely render the power of that revolutionary Islamic group just useless, Lord, that you will neutralize that power, that they will be found out for who they are, and that these young girls will be returned home to their homes where they belong. God, we pray for safety, and pray, God, that you will intervene in this situation. And we can hardly think of anything more terrible than so many young girls being kidnapped and captured, and Lord, we don't even know what's really happening in their lives, but we pray today for protection, and we pray that you will show us today that you are a God of justice, and that you're a God who hears our prayers, and that you will act, God, when we pray. You say in your word that that our prayers are powerful and effective, so we expect today to see that power and to see the effectiveness of our prayers, God, in delivering and in saving these children, because that's what they are, they're children. We pray for Nigeria. We pray for a country that's torn apart between Muslims and Christians. We pray about the division between north and south, and we pray for greater unity, and that, Lord, you will bring good out of this evil, because you do that all the time. And we cry out to you, God. We call on the name of Jesus, because you are the name that saves. And I pray, Lord, for the many, many Christians who live in Nigeria, that this will also be another way that you draw them even closer to your heart, and that their faith will not just be a religion, but it'll be a living faith in Jesus Christ. And that we, in this part of the world, as we join with them, that we'll recognize that there is indeed a war going on, and it's a war between the enemy and a war between you. But you, we know, God, that you are the victor. You are the mighty conqueror. And we proclaim today that Jesus Christ is alive, that you have risen from the dead. And on the basis of that resurrection, we pray with great hope today. We do not pray in despair. We pray with great hope, because we know that you are the deliverer of your people. And we know that you are the redeemer. And you are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. And so we just cry out to you, God, for something to happen here quickly. And Lord, for you to save and preserve. And we just speak our faith that we believe in you. We believe in you. Make your church strong. Make your people strong, God. And increase our faith. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Oh, yep. You want to do that a minute? Just stand up and do that. Yep. Amen. All right. Now we're praying. Another thing we're going to pray for this morning is for Colleen Marcus, who's on her way to Israel tomorrow, and she's going to spend 3 months there in a mission. And, pardon me? Leaving a week tomorrow. I know, Marnie, you are not Colleen, but will you stand in a gap for her? And as I pray, would you? Should we wait till then? Okay, because she's sick, so I thought she was coming today, but she phoned me this morning, said she couldn't be here. I didn't realize that she wasn't leaving, so let's not pray for Colleen. Let's pray for her next week. That'll be great. That'll be really good. That we can hear, we'll hear a little bit more as well about, you know, what God is doing and where God's leading her. We have for a number of weeks been looking at that theme in the scriptures about seeking the lost, and it's such a poignant verse when Jesus says that he came, his sole purpose, the reason why he came as the Son of Man, is he came to seek and he came to save the lost. And that sometimes we forget about that. We get caught up. The church, I think historically, we've gotten caught up doing all kinds of other things. We're not always focused on the lost. It's not always our central theme. We get caught up doing all kinds of other things. But God's word has been bringing us back to what it's really all about. And as I prayed earlier, Jesus said, I gave you all authority in heaven and on earth, but the authority I gave you was to go out. And that's the mandate. I gave you all authority to go out and to make disciples of all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And don't worry, I'm with you. But we don't do it very well, but we're learning about it, right? We're learning more about it. We're learning to see the lost. We're learning to seek the lost. We're learning sometimes to just even ask the question, you know, are you saved? Or do you want to know Jesus? Or do you want to know more about Jesus? And not to be afraid to ask that question and how powerful and how important that is. Last Sunday, I gave you homework. So we're going to start with the homework today. And what I did is, what we said was that, remember, we're looking at the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coins, and the third part of that parable is the parable of the lost son. We believed together last Sunday that God's going to give us some opportunities, that if we really have our eyes open, there are going to be some people throughout the week that we're going to have a chance to talk to, that if we're really in tune and if we're really listening, that there's going to be some individuals that come our way that maybe we're going to have the opportunity just to pray for or just to encourage them. Or maybe we even have the privilege of leading someone to Jesus if we're aware and if our eyes are open. So there's a microphone right there. We're going to spend some time this morning, and that means that the message is going to be a lot shorter, if there's even going to be a message. This might be the message. It's up to, I guess, what God wants to do here today. And Jeff's going to have a mic, and he's going to stand right here. I want you just to know these are two things about what we're going to do this morning. First of all, if you've got something to share, like I usually say, keep it short. You don't need to make it real long. The truth is, the longer we make our stories, the more it becomes about us. The shorter the story is, usually the more it becomes about God. So keep your story short if you have something. And secondly, we're asking specifically about what happened this week. So you may have nothing. That's fine. But this isn't about, you know, a camp you went to when you were 14 and a lot of cool things happened. And, you know, that's a great story too, but that's not the story for today. Because we need to see that God's power is real today. Not just what happened, you know, 18 years ago or whenever that was. It's what has God done in this week. And if it hasn't been much, then we're going to pray again and we're going to ask him again. And say, Lord, now what? Lead us and show us and give us those opportunities. I want to be a light that shines for you. I want to be a seeker of the lost. I want to have a heart that's open so that I'm recognizing when someone is ready to be prayed for or to be encouraged or just to have a hug. And I believe that God is a God of revelation. I believe that God makes himself known, and this is exactly how he works. And he's leading us in this way. He really is. So I'm going to start. I got three or four stories, but I'm just going to start with one, and I hope I don't need to tell any more, and that'll depend on how many of you want to share today, but I haven't had someone on my heart for a number of weeks. I'm going to make it short because that was what I said, right? So this is a fellow that has a really bad habit, a bad addiction, and many times I said to him, I'm really worried about you. I don't think you're going to make it. His health is failing. He's getting older, and I would just say to him, listen, I'm really worried about you. You got to quit doing this. You got to stop living this way. But I never, ever went beyond that. It was just sort of a warning. It happened that he was in the hospital. They took him to the hospital last Sunday. I had a chance to meet with him on Sunday, and I knew that God wanted me to share Jesus with him. He didn't know Jesus. He told me he grew up in a Roman Catholic background. And I was stumbling, and, you know, I'm not that eloquent at the best of times. But you know, I just knew that God wanted me to say to him, and I won't say his name because I don't want to embarrass him, but, you know, I knew that I needed to get to the point where I said, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? And his answer to me was, no, I don't know him at all. And then the next logical question was, well, do you want to know him? And he says, yeah, I think that'd be great. And it was like so easy, right? And I said, well, I said, I know this. I know that God really loves you, and he's got a plan for whatever the rest of your life is, but even better than that, he's got a plan for your eternal life. And if you want to pray with me this prayer, the Bible says that when you choose me and you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father who's in heaven. So as we pray this, you are a Christian, and you will belong to Jesus, and you will live with him forever. And will you say these words after me? He said, gladly. Like, okay. And so I don't need to go through the whole thing, but it was just an awesome experience, and I'm going too long, But there's one more in the kingdom of God, and the heavens rejoice. Amen. Amen. All right. Who's second? Come on up. We want to hear you, so stand up or grab a mic. Or if you want to be third, you can just stand and wait till Sam's done.
So I work with Parkland Community School, and God, so quite a few ladies there that are Christians, lot that aren't, but God has been using me to sow seed into a lot of their hearts. And I believe that it is going to continue and that we're going to see a harvest. Also, just in our little complex there where we live, I've had an opportunity twice to talk to people who have fallen away from Christ.
Yep.
And is seriously thinking about coming back. So I will continue to work with God and allow Holy Spirit to work in that and to trust in Him, right?
Amen. Thank you for those opportunities. Amen.
So I would just like to add, when you ask people to receive Jesus to come into their heart, another thing that I find really helps the people after they do that is to also give them the armor of Christ, which is, I don't know, I hope everyone knows it, but I do this for all of my friends. I pray for them and their armor. And you have, like, the gospel of peace on your feet. You get a belt of truth. You have breastplates of righteousness, helmets of salvation, shields of faith, and the sword, which is the truth.
Amen.
And I pray for that for myself every day and as well as my friends. And it makes a world of difference.
Amen. Thank you, Chickadee. Amen. Who's had opportunity this week to share Christ? Okay, Kim.
I was in Edmonton for 3 days this week, and I had two opportunities. One, they still need prayer. For starters, they still need prayer. Mm. One is I found out that my uncle is failing fast, and I got to go to the hospital and talk to him a little bit, but I don't know if I'll see him again before he dies. He's got cancer, and he also has had a stroke, and he was very angry when I had opportunity with him a couple of years ago. He wouldn't even talk about the Bible. He did at least, or God, he wouldn't even go there. He was soft this time. So he needs prayer. Also, I was shared a room with a lady that I work with, and she, we had opportunity to talk. And when she was 21, something very, very tragic happened. And she went to the church for help. And they literally turned their back on her right in the church. And she walked out and has never darkened the doors again. But she's open right now. But she shared stuff she hasn't shared in 35 years.
Wow.
So she also needs prayer and me for opportunity.
Amen. Thank you. We're going to pray at the end, and that was a good reminder of what we talked about last week, that sometimes the lost are lost because we've driven them away.
You know, talking about that reminds me, this week I had a young lad. I do fine option at Loaves and Fishes, and so I run into a lot of kids, especially that are, this is the first time that they get into trouble or whatever. Long story short, this one kid was not doing anything that he was supposed to be doing, and he was in all kinds of trouble with the rest of the staff. And I was busy. And I think that's what hit me this morning is we can be so busy doing so many things that we miss that one opportunity. And so they brought this kid in to me. And all I wanted to do was get rid of him, to be honest with you. I had a lot of things to do. I was busy. And I just wanted to get him in and out as fast as I could. But the Lord stopped me, and I got talking to him. Hmm. First thing I found out is he was Islamic. And the way his parents had raised him and all the rest. I found out a lot of things about him. But I think what I wanted to share today is we need to listen. Yeah. Listen to their hearts. When they're doing the worst things possible, they're crying out inside their heart and saying, just give me something.
Amen.
Something I can hang on to. Anyway, eventually I led them to Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Amen. The Lord.
That's good.
He's made an appointment with me to bring his wife in. And so I'm hoping that there's
Thank
a chain
God.
There that's going to get started.
Yes, Lord.
Where people are going to glorify the Lord.
Wow, that's great. That's exciting. Amen. Merlise, sorry, you're next.
Well, I know my mother-in-law, like I said, was talking often about God, but I said, you need to know about Jesus, and she has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And every time I go there to prepare a meal or do whatever God wants me to do for her, I take the time to talk about Jesus to her, that she will know really Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, just the way we should, that we have with him. And I'm glad that she's growing in the understanding and revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I give God thanks, glory, honor, and praise.
Amen. And she's 95 or 96, right? 96. So, and I always said that maybe one of the best mission fields are in the nursing homes, because, you know, they need to know Jesus as well. Gord.
Hello. Hi. Good morning, everybody. I found with myself is I've been praying a lot. I've been fasting for like over a month, and the Lord has revealed so much to me in regards to intuition and being able to see things, discernment, when to say something, when not to say something, when to listen. And so a lot of people believe a lot of lies out there. And the thing is that the truth of the matter, there's a lot of hurt. And sometimes being able to listen, it's just to be able to listen to what the lies are, right? And then being able to expose those lies. And one of my friends from like when I was a teenager, he said, I feel like I have missed the boat, that I've missed my chances. I hope that I'm not too late. And I said, no, you're not too late. Everything that you've been writing about, everything that you've been talking about is exactly what you're supposed to be doing at this moment. So God has apportioned you your faith already right now. Like, I mean, there's no achievement of faith. You know, God has already given you your faith. So be blessed that you are doing his work right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, thank you so much, brother, you know. I also went to the reservation not too long ago, and I got the chance to see a lot of people that had a lot of hopelessness. You know, like, no hope. Like, I mean, it was really sad. But I prayed with a lot of them, and yet there is one little church in there that does sow seeds, and it's like, oh, thank God, you know what I mean? Because they tell me that, I'm like, oh, I'm just getting so excited when they sat there and told me about their faith and about Jesus, and I'm like, wow, so God is there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was one other person, a couple people that I just prayed with, but, you know, like, I mean, honestly, I think that one-on-one is always how it is, right?
Yep.
It's not going to be like a multitude of people that are going to be healed all at once. But it's just what we do, what I show you, what I can say to you, and being Jesus right now in through me to help you, and whatever he wants me to say, I'll pray, right?
Being available.
Yeah, so.
Amen. Thanks,
yeah,
Gord.
Thanks.
That's encouraging. Very encouraging. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yesterday morning in Potter's Hands, we were sitting around a table with a couple of people, and there was a native boy sitting there too, and he looked at me. He said, do you have something for me from the Lord? I don't know exactly how this went anymore. I was so surprised. I said, yeah. So,
Thank you, Jesus.
I talked to him a little bit, and I said, but we would like to pray for you. And Doug was there. The handicap was there. So, yeah, we talked with him and we asked him if he knew the Lord. He says, no, but I have my doubts because later on, I think I did pray with him once before. But we prayed with him and he accepted the Lord. Is that true, Doug? Yeah, I think so too. And it was really, really wonderful.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Oh, man, I don't know where to begin.
Praise God. For several years now, I've been going to specialists in Edmonton because I was going blind. And year, month after month after month, there was no change. And so this week, I had another appointment. And he looked at my eyes and he said, I don't want you coming back anymore. Mm. Your eyes are healed. There's nothing more that we can do. Your eyes are healed. Amen. So God's still in the business of healing.
That's right.
And if we'll believe and if we'll be use his words and use his name and not doubt, he'll bring it to pass.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else?
I'm going to make it short, but when I started coming to Potter's Hands, my mom was really, really sarcastic or really critical of me coming here. She says, you're enabling people to keep doing wrong. And I just want people to hear that my sister stepped in and said, you know, he's doing, helping people. You got to look at the people on the street, and those people have had some bad problems and had some bad luck. And she started seeing things differently. In this last week or two, we've been actually watching a lot of Christian videos, helping her see the Bible, and it's been really wonderful to start seeing her heart change.
Amen.
And be able to talk to her about God. So, it's just not sometimes one person. It's like you're, in my case, it was my family. It's my sister's helping my mom see some of the things I'm doing that she's critical of, and then having her see her change that view because of what my sister said, because I'm leading in what I'm doing. But they help her see it another way. So it's just a reminder that we're a Christian community. Everybody's
good.
A part of this, and it's not just one person changing something. It's a group of people, and we're quite a group here. Mm-hmm. But there's a group in this entire city.
That's right.
And we got power here that just is unbelievable. So
amen.
I'm just grateful to see change and in people and even parents and family. It's a blessing.
Thanks, Bert. Amen. Alda.
Hello, everybody. I would just like to ask for prayer for my oldest daughter. She's been trying really hard to get off drugs, and I believe she plans on going to a treatment center. And I know she really loves God, and she just has such a struggle to try and get off the drugs. So I just pray that everyone will uplift her in prayer and think about her.
That's Terry Lynn?
Yes.
Let's pray right now.
Okay.
So God, for Terry Lynn, we pray that you will give her the power that can only come from you. It's not about willpower, it's about God power. And Lord, we know that she's got a heart for you and she's heard about you and those seeds have been planted deep in her heart. And we pray, God, for complete deliverance and for freedom, God. Just set her free from the drugs, set her free from the people that keep causing her to stumble and from the enemy who has her in his sights. And I pray, God, that you'll give her complete victory. We remember Terry Lynn right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray, God, for her salvation and that she'll come to repentance. She'll come to her senses and return back to you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. One or two more. Brian?
Hello. I think I already talked to Stan about this last Sunday. God's really put the streets on my heart. And Carl and Elsie were part of another fellowship when I was broken, and they took me into their home, and they fed me, and they visited with me.
Wow.
And they prayed with me, and I call Elsie Mum. You know the difference, and it is a one-on-one thing, I spoke a couple of weeks ago reading the same indictment that God has had for centuries is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayer, and I will hear the Lamb.
That's right.
There are so many indictments on the church. Two men that came to Christ last Sunday at breakfast time, both, you know, have indictments. I had mine. Trust me, when I got clean and sober, I had my own indictments, and I've shared them. And when people bring me indictments like these two gentlemen did that came to Christ, I said, well, let's just look at God's word and see what he says. Let's stop looking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start looking at God's word and what he says. And, you know, if you'd have met me 10 years ago, I can guarantee you, I could tell you, I could preach to you, but all that information never moved down to the heart.
Mm.
And what a change, you know? I can't believe what I've become. Yeah. My life is being poured out for others, and I can't explain that change. There's nothing about Brian that would have done that. Nothing. And that's where we need to be. It's all lost in a dying world.
That's right.
And he poured, Jesus Christ, poured out his life for one reason and one reason only, to seek and to save the lost. That has to be our focus.
Yeah.
Or we're going to be badly messed up. When our focus goes other places, that goes out the window. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, the second part, and turn from their wicked ways.
That's right.
Then I will hear from heaven their prayer, and I will answer it, and I will heal their land.
Thank you, Jesus. Luis, we're going to just let Luis have the last word. Can you give him a mic, too, Jeff?
Yes, I want to ask the church to pray for two brothers that live in Mexico. They lost at the same time in 1 week a father and mother. They are two of them. Actually, I knew that they were sick, and their mother died about cancer. After 4 days, when her husband knew the news, he got a stroke and died at the same time.
Mm.
So, and they are struggling right now, both. And I would like that everyone pray.
Why don't you lead us in prayer? That's a good thing to pray for. And just thank God for all the things that were shared here. Will you do that?
Yep. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you because we are here together in your name. And we can put everything, all needs that we have in your presence. Today we agree to come in your presence again and say, God, help us in everything that we ask you today. And we are still asking you for more help every single day in our life.
Yes, God.
We need that you break every chain that we have in our life, even we don't know too much about this chain. Sometimes we ignore this kind of chain that we have in our life, but you know more than us, and you can do everything for us. God. You are our king. You are our guide. You are everything in our life. Without you, we are lost. And right now, we are praying for everyone that is here, and they ask you for something today. We are praying together again, and we are praying for this brother that they live in Mexico. Mm. And they need help, they need support, they need more of you, they need wisdom, they need everything every day. I know you never abandon us. You are with us always, every single day.
Yes,
thank
God.
You because you listen, God.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. We are tonight, we're going to spend our prayer meeting time from 6 to 7, praying for prodigals, praying for lost, praying for children and maybe parents, friends who don't know Jesus, and we're going to just devote time to that. I encourage you to come. There's a bit of an incentive tonight. There will be pizza at the end of prayer, so it's prayerza or something like that. 7 o'clock, we're going to have some pizza delivered here. Show up at 6 and not at 7. Because we'd like you to come for the prayer, too. You're welcome to come. Let's just join in prayer. Like, we're finding out that as we pray, there's power. As we pray, God is revealing things. I don't know about you, but I know in my life I get caught up with, I'm not seeing things. I could relate to the being busy stuff. And man, God's convicted me of that lots of times where I'm missing opportunities. It's one of the reasons why that prayer is so important, is we just come to God with a soft heart and say, God, show us, make me an instrument this week. Lord, reveal. We've had some good examples today. I think there's way more to come. There's way more to come. Are you understanding that? Do you realize that there is a world of lost people and that they're damned? Like, there's hell to pay if you don't know Jesus. And I don't say that very often because it sounds so stark and it sounds condemning, and I don't want to condemn, but yet the reality sometimes needs to be presented, and that the responsibility is on you and it's on me. We're to be lights that shine in this world. We are to tell people who we get to know. We are to build those relationships and build those bridges. And I'm just calling you to prayer. I think the leadership of our church would agree with that, that we're calling this congregation to prayer, that we don't forget why we're here, that why we're here is to reach out to the lost. You know, what we do at the kitchen, providing food, we've always understood that to be just the starting point. If that's all we do, it's just a Band-Aid. If all we do is feed people, you know, that's not good enough, because God's got something so much better for people than just that they're not hungry for a few hours. God has a way better plan than that. He has an eternal hope. And that's why we're here. And I'm going to say this over and over and over again until we get it straight. We're here to save the lost. I know we can't save them, but we're to be used as an instrument. Jesus saves. Stan doesn't save. Jerry doesn't save. Jesus saves. But he chooses to use us, and it's an amazing thing. He chooses to say, Terry, I'm going to work through you. I'm going to speak through your voice. I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell someone how much you love Jesus. I'm going to show you someone who's really hurting, and I'm going to challenge you to take the time to talk to them and just say, hey, what's wrong? What do you need? What can I do for you? Can I pray for you today? Very seldom in my life have I ever had someone say no to that. It's happened a couple of times. But almost always, you go to the hospital, you want something to do? You want to know where to, you want to build your testimony? If you're sitting here today and you're wondering, you know, well, why don't I have a story? Go to the hospital. Just start in Unit 21, and you just walk around and start going into rooms and ask people if they need prayer. I promise you, you'll be here next week, and you'll have 50 people, 50 stories of someone who needed prayer. Those people are sick. They're hurting. Most of them don't know Jesus, and they don't know where they're going. There's ministry opportunities everywhere. Do you get that? Honestly, we gotta get excited about this. It's a privilege that God has included us in building his kingdom. There isn't much time, but I just want to start, okay? Please bear with me. I won't be long. This is going to be, you know, Charles Spurgeon once said that sermonettes are for Christianettes. So this is just going to be a short message. It's not going to be a sermonette. And I want to just read the first part of the parable of the lost son and just touch on one thing, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to go out into the world, and we're going to be what God wants us to be. But here's God's word today. It's still important that we hear what God says. And so the parable of the lost son, it follows the parable of the lost sheep. It follows the parable of the lost coin. And it goes here, Jesus continued. It's Luke 15, sorry. Jesus continued that there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. And so he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father. Say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And so he got up and went to his father. Oh, man, that's as far as we're going to read. It's just the first part of the story. I guess I want to whet your appetite. I want you to think about this. You know, it's not enough that I think about it. You need to think about this story over the next few weeks because it's just full of God's truth. When the younger brother was saying to his dad, I want my share of the inheritance, and maybe you've heard this before, but what he really was saying is, Dad, I wish you were dead. I mean, literally, in that culture, he was saying, Dad, I wish you were dead, and I just want whatever I can get. And it was a huge insult and a huge slam in his father's face. His father had every right and every reason not to love his son after that and to say, I have nothing to do with you. You just go. Be gone with you. You know, he could have done that. He had every right to do that. He was saying to Dad, I want you to be dead, Dad. And when he took the inheritance, it wasn't just money. He wasn't just given $100,000. He was given about a third of the estate. And he would have had to sell that because we're told that he took it with him. So he didn't take all those, you know, cattle and the sheep and the land. He sold it. And understand that when he did that, he put the rest of the farm in jeopardy. And it's no wonder that his older brother was angry with him because there's probably a lot of hardships that came from the sale of that land. Last week, talked a little bit about how there's a difference between being lost and being missing, that not everybody who is missing is lost. There's a difference. And that we need to be discerning, that we need to know who the lost are. Sometimes people are missing and they want to be missing. They don't come to church anymore. They don't want anything to do with God. And we can make things worse by, you know, hounding them or making them feel guilty or condemning them. Sometimes we need to just let people go until they're ready, until the Spirit of God turns their hearts. And that what this parable, all three parables really teach us is that we need to seek the lost, not necessarily the missing, and that we need discernment. We really need to pray for the Holy Spirit to give us discernment so that we know when someone's ready to hear about Jesus. Because sometimes we do more harm than good. We need that heart to be ready to listen. That is the difference between the lost and the missing. And the parable of the two sons is a good example of someone who was missing. At least he's missing at first. We'll get into this in the weeks to come. Later on, I think his missing, he turns into getting lost. You're missing for a long enough period of time, eventually you're going to be lost. That's what happens in his life. But he's a really good example of someone who's missing because he chooses to be missing. He doesn't want to be with the family anymore. And maybe you've been there before. I know. I think a lot of us have. You go, I don't want any of this. I don't want religion. I don't want anything to do with God. I'm just going to go do my own thing. I want to have fun. I don't want to be a part of anything, so I'm out of here. There's lots of people who do that. He's a good example of that. He's an example of someone who basically divorced himself from his family and from his father. And you know what he wanted? Yeah, he wanted a good time. He wanted what he would probably say was freedom. I want to just be free. I don't want to be under Dad's thumb. I don't want to live with my self-righteous brother and all the things that are going wrong there. I just want to get out of here. How many of you have been there before? He thought he was getting freedom. I just want freedom. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. I don't want to do what the rules say. I just want to be free. I want to just enjoy life. And the Bible says that he went out and he lived in wild ways, whatever that means. He went and he spent his inheritance. And the thing I want you just to think about this morning, as I know we're coming to a conclusion here, but the thing that I think is one of the most striking verses in all of these parables is when it says this. It says that a great famine came over the whole land. A great famine came over the whole land, and so he lost all that he had, and he was hungry. There is always, here's the message today. You see, I can do it quickly if I really need to. Here's the message today, is that there's always something that's unexpected that happens. There's always something unexpected in our lives that changes everything, and we don't count on it, we don't plan on it, but when it happens, suddenly everything is different than what we thought was going to happen. I'm sure that this younger brother many, many, many times said to himself, you know, everything would have been just fine. I would have been just fine if it wasn't for the famine. I was doing great. I had lots of friends. I had money. There was work. But the famine, man, that caused all kinds of problems in my life. Suddenly the economy changed. Suddenly I didn't have the job I thought I was going to have. Suddenly my friends were gone. Well, wake up. The unexpected is going to happen in your life. Things are going to happen because God always wants to draw us back to Him. And we live life, you know, we want to be free, right? I want to be free. And then stuff happens in our lives because we think that we're in control. You are not in control. You are not in control of your life. God is in control of your life. And He has put you here for one reason. There's only one reason why you are here on this earth. One single purpose. And that single purpose is this: to bring glory to God. Amen? There is one single purpose why we're here, is to bring glory to God. And if you're not doing that, or you're living your life for yourself, or you're chasing after some kind of freedom that seems to be free to you, and it's all about self-glory, and you're no longer glorifying God, something unexpected is likely to happen. And that can be an oil boom that dies out. You know, it can be a bankruptcy. It can be a divorce that you never saw coming. It can be a sickness. But something unexpected can happen in our lives. And you have a plan. We have a plan. We think, oh, things are going to go great. This is what I'm going to do first, and then this, and then that. My life is going to be wonderful. I'm going to be free. There's going to be nothing but wonderful things. And then the unexpected happens, and we go, oh, now what? And we find ourselves in the bottom of a pit. We find ourselves in a place where we go, where in this hell? Where in this hell am I? And that's where he was. We're gonna see more about him. We're gonna study this more. But I want to encourage you this morning to read this story over and over. And ask yourself the question: what has happened in your life that was unexpected? You didn't count on, you didn't bank on this, and it changed everything. It changed everything. And maybe even a better question: is God intending, or was He intending to use this so that you would come back to the Father? I can tell you many people I know who I've talked to about crack and about doing crack. And some of you know this and have done it. And you know way better than I do, but almost invariably they have said to me, I never expected, and you can fill in the rest of the blanks, right? I never expected that it would hold on to me like that. I thought that I could just do this one time. I thought, this is not a big deal. And I never expected it would have such a grip on me. I thought that I was smoking crack, but I found out that it was smoking me. That's what we're talking about. And how God will use any means necessary to get you back to the Father, to get you back to repentance, and to have you on your knees. God's calling you back. How many people know this? I see some of you nodding your head. You know that God's calling you? God's calling you back. And it's all about what we've talked about from the very beginning. It's about His love. He loves you, Robin. He loves you, Gertie. He loves you, Gaston. He loves you so much that He will not let you go. Even though I know from your story, I know you've tried. You've been Jonah. You've ran away, right? He says, I love you so much. I love you so much. Let's pray. So God, thank you for, just the start of this word, but it's such a powerful story, a powerful word. Thank you, God, that Your love is a deep love, and that sometimes there'll be a famine in our land and a famine in our lives, and some of us, maybe today we relate to that. Maybe some of us think about that famine we were through that drew us back to you, but there are some people here today, maybe they're going through that famine right now today. They're going through that hard time. They're finding themselves at the bottom of the pit. Let your word encourage, and let your word build us up, that you love us so much, that your love never fails, that your love never fails, and that your entire purpose is to see that we live lives that glorify you. Thank you, Jesus, that all we need to do is come to our senses, to get on our knees and say, okay, God, I'm back. Thank you, God. We serve you. Hallelujah. Amen.
He is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wings and mercy.
Remember that he's calling you.
He's a good shepherd. He calls you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. May He give you His peace. Come to Jesus, because He loves you. Amen. Amen.